Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Rwanda threat is pouring migrants into Ireland. That's the headline on Britain's Daily Telegraph newspaper today, referring to comments from Micheál Martin that the UK's Rwanda bill is already impacting on Ireland and that people are now fearful of staying in the UK. Well, that follows Helen McEntee's statement that over 80% of international protection applicants are coming to Ireland across the border from Northern Ireland. And here to discuss all of this, I'm joined by Cathal Malone from Thomas Coughlin & Co. Solicitors, and John O'Brennan, who's Professor and Director of the Maynooth Centre for European and Eurasian Studies. Cathal, I'll start with you. Is that a new phenomenon, people travelling over the border seeking asylum here?
Good morning, Claire. It's not particularly. If we look back even to when Theresa May was Home Secretary in the United Kingdom, she announced that they wanted to create what they called the hostile environment for migrants. And I mean, certainly over the last decade, we have been seeing a fairly appreciable number of people travelling usually from Scotland to Northern Ireland by ferry and then over the open border into the 26 counties. And as obviously restrictions are tightened in any country, that will have a knock-on effect in any country with which they share an open border.
And given that we've had these comments from Micheál Martin today gaining a lot of attention in the British press, do you feel now that there might be calls for some sort of legislation to deal with it?
Well, there's two aspects to that, I suppose. The first is that obviously Ireland can only control so much. Now, there are two places that you could put checks between the island of Great Britain and the island of Ireland, or Ireland generally, I suppose. One is you can put checks on the Irish Sea, which is something which, as we've seen with the trade in goods and services after Brexit, is something that the British are very unwilling to do. And the other is that you can put checks on the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland, which is the entire point of the EU's Brexit negotiation stance was to stop that happening. And I'm sure the listeners can understand very well why that it would not be possible to do that. So I don't think that there's really a possibility to stop the travel between Northern Ireland and Ireland. And that's something that really the government have been seeking to preserve during the Brexit talks. The second aspect is, and Minister McEntee was talking about this at the committee the other day, is the idea of legislation to allow us to more easily return people to the United Kingdom if they've come from there and sought asylum here. Now, as it happens, and as Minister McEntee well knows, there was already legislation brought in on exactly that point after Brexit. Unfortunately, it has recently been struck down by the High Court because they made a mess of it technically. If that is reenacted properly, however, I don't know that it would now be operable. And the simple reason is that just because the Rwanda bill says that the British courts have to conclusively treat Rwanda as being a safe country, that doesn't bind the Irish courts. I mean, the UK Supreme Court has already found that Rwanda is not, in fact, a safe country. And so if you think about it, if somebody has claimed asylum in the UK, but then comes to Ireland and claims asylum here, and if the Irish courts know that if that person is sent back to the United Kingdom, they're straight on a flight to Rwanda, that's something that would give the Irish courts great pause.
So it's an unsolvable problem.
Well, I mean, it's a problem which has to take account of the fact that we have two jurisdictions on this island and that it has been the consistent policy of both governments since 1998 not to introduce a hard border between the two parts. And as soon as you accept that there is nothing to stop somebody coming from Newry over the border into County Louth, then unfortunately, stopping people coming from the United Kingdom and Ireland just doesn't appear to be possible. And as I say, on the returns point, the fact of the matter is that the United Kingdom Supreme Court has found unanimously that if people are sent back to Rwanda, there's a real risk that they'll be persecuted there, or that Rwanda may in fact send them back to their home country where they'll be persecuted. And so I think now if the Irish Department of Justice are looking at this problem, they're going to find it very difficult to return anybody to the United Kingdom, given that there's now a duty on the Home Secretary to return anybody who enters the UK unlawfully to Rwanda.
So what do you make then of the timing of these comments, both from the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, and from Micheál Martin, and those comments ending up on the front of the Daily Telegraph?
Well, I suspect that there's more than little politics going on here. Obviously, since Simon Harris took office as Taoiseach, he's tried to cast himself as, I suppose, a traditional law and order Taoiseach, and there's been an increased focus on migration. But also, I mean, I know, for example, that President Macron gave a speech recently in which he was talking about how, you know, the knock-on effects of Brexit, and how Brexit is the sort of thing that has meant that nobody will now think of leaving the Euro or the European Union. And so I wonder whether maybe there isn't an element of, you know, saying, look what mess you've created for everybody else.
Just on Emmanuel Macron, he also criticised the UK's migration policies, saying policies that involve sending people to African countries are a betrayal of our European values. Do you think that had a wider audience too?
I do think it did, because the Asylum and Migration Pact, which we've recently opted into, which is going to come into force across Europe in 2 years' time, it's been suggested from some quarters, and particularly in respect of some of the very right-wing governments in Eastern Europe, that maybe under this pact, Europe might decide to, I mean, the sanitised word they use is externalise refugees, which really does mean shipping them off on an industrial scale to a third country outside of the European Union and leaving them there, very like the Rwanda scheme. And I think that perhaps what's happening is that this is a shot across the bows of other European leaders from Emmanuel Macron, saying that, look, the pact is already quite a restrictive measure, and maybe we should be looking at all of the trouble that the British have been causing with the Rwanda scheme, that maybe we shouldn't go any further.
Carl, stay with me if you can. I want to bring in Professor John O'Brien on this. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Claire.
So those comments from Micheál Martin, firstly, that the migrants who are fearful over the Rwanda bill are coming to Ireland instead. Do you think those comments are aimed at a UK audience, you know, look at what you have done, or an EU audience warning, look, we may have a problem here?
I think it's a combination of both, but I think we should understand that until we actually see some empirical evidence, in other words, what kind of numbers are we talking about, whether Helen McEntee's department is going to release that information or whether they even have that information.
Well, they've said 80%, haven't they?
That's right, but they haven't actually released any numbers. So we're still very much in the dark. I think what the Taoiseach was doing was really sending a shot across the bows, because Ireland is kind of caught here in this increasing divergence between the UK and the EU. After the 1st of January 2021, the UK was no longer bound by the common rules around asylum, no longer part of the common European asylum system or the Eurodac system of information recording and sharing. And to date, Claire, I think the problem is that there has been no agreement between the UK and the EU on replacing those previously shared rules. So the UK wants an agreement. The EU has been quite hesitant, I think, on this issue. The UK has done a bilateral deal with France about a year ago where it's provided 500 million euros to France to try and deal with these problems of interdiction. But unless we get to the point where the UK and the EU can actually agree a common asylum regime, Ireland is going to be caught in the middle, and we're probably going to see an increase in these numbers coming through Northern Ireland.
As a direct result of the Rwanda bill, do you think?
Yeah, I think it probably is having a deterrent effect, and that's why I think the Daily Telegraph and much of the Brexit press are being very gleeful this morning. They're able to say, look, forget about all those objections from Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. This really works. It is a deterrent, and so we should proceed with it, notwithstanding all the extraordinary criticism of it that we've seen in the UK thus far. To them, I think it represents a justification for introducing what many believe to be a very extreme policy.
Mm-hmm. You were involved in the stakeholder talks around Brexit, weren't you, John? And at that time, did migration and asylum seekers feature in those talks?
I think it's fair to say that they barely came up, Claire, in 5 years of discussion. Where there was discussion, it tended to focus on the protection of the common travel area and the rights of British and Irish nationals under the Good Friday Agreement. There was also a lot of attention paid to EU nationals who, for example, might be working in Northern Ireland and what rights they had to cross-border healthcare, education and so forth. But I think it's fair to say that this was a real absence in the talks, that there really was no focus on non-EU nationals on the island of Ireland, whatever direction they might be moving in. And I think this is a problem that sort of crept up on us in particular in the years since the agreement with the UK has been signed.
McCall, to come back to you on that, it would seem now, given that what we have been told, that this is a problem now that will have to be dealt with. Do you agree with what John is saying there, that it was perhaps an oversight in the Brexit negotiations?
Well, I think that it's perhaps not so much an oversight as a natural consequence that is very difficult to deal with, and that there were so many difficult things to deal with at the time that seemed more pressing. But as I say, I mean, in terms of what can be done, I mean, John's talking there about an agreement between the EU and the United Kingdom. And I think that's highly unlikely to happen in the foreseeable future, simply because we have such a move to the right on behalf of the United Kingdom government, supported by the Brexit press. And we've now reached the point where, dissatisfied even with having left the European Union, they're now calling to leave the European Convention on Human Rights. Now, even the trade and cooperation agreement that was signed between the UK and the EU after Brexit, that is actually conditioned on the United Kingdom continuing to observe the European Convention on Human Rights. And indeed, the Good Friday Agreement guarantees that people in Northern Ireland must have the benefit of the ECHR. So if, as appears to now be the case, there's going to be a further move to disengage from Europe by denouncing the ECHR, then I think that that makes it essentially impossible for the European Union to enter into any agreement with the United Kingdom, because the European Union as a whole and all of its individual member states are bound by the Convention on Human Rights. And if Britain says it is no longer going to respect that convention and the rights contained in it, then I think as a matter of law, the EU would have its hands very much tied in any further agreement that could be signed to deal with this sort of issue, or indeed many others.
But the UK position might change radically after the general election there. We don't know when it's going to be, but it's imminent.
Certainly. And I mean, if it is the case that we see that Keir Starmer becomes Prime Minister and there is a softening of the position somewhat, then I think that things will become much more tractable. But you must also remember that it is the stated policy of the Labour Party to repeal the Safety of Rwanda Bill and to end the Rwanda scheme. In fact, the papers last week were reporting that Keir Starmer had said even if it appeared to be working. So I think that these problems may diminish themselves over time under a Labour government, but that remains to be seen. But on the current direction of travel of the Tory party, who essentially they wanted a sort of a pure unbridled form of sovereignty, and they don't want to be bound by any international agreements. And it's very difficult to make a new international agreement with a country which is busy ripping up all of its old ones.
All right, we'll leave all of that there. Thank you very much to Cathal Malone and also to John O'Brennan from Maynooth University. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.